Our final case this morning is ZA Seafoods Private Limited et al. Versus the United States and the Ad Hoc Shrimp Trade Action Committee, 2023-1469. Good morning, Mr. Zachary Walker.
My
colleague just noted this is probably historic, two Zacharys appearing before us consecutively.
Very nice.
Please proceed.
Yes, good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. Zachary Walker of Picard Kenson Roe on behalf of the Ad Hoc Shrimp Trade Action Committee. This appeal presents two issues concerning Commerce's discretion in determining normal value under Section 773 of the Tariff Act and Anti-Dumping Duty Proceeding. Our first issue is whether Commerce supported its determination that the price of ZA Seafood's third country sales to resellers and traders in Vietnam were not representative for purposes of determining normal value with substantial evidence. And second, whether following remand, the CIT erred in holding that arguments presented by Ad Hoc Shrimp related to the statutory term for consumption in the exporting country were waived. With respect to our first issue, we believe that Commerce reasonably concluded in the final results that the prices of ZA Seafood's third country sales were not representative such that the CIT erred in holding that the agency failed to support its original determination with substantial evidence.
Well, what's the final result of the CIT's decision? That the determination was that the Vietnamese sales were representative or were not proven to be unrepresentative?
So Commerce determination in the final results determined that the prices were unsuitable to determine normal value because those prices were unrepresentative, were not representative.
But the CIT remanded and Commerce made a new determination, which CIT affirmed, and that's what's on review.
Well, you're stepping into the shoes of the trial court and reviewing both reviewing the final, whether or not there was substantial evidence on that original determination.
If we think the remand determination is correct and supported by substantial evidence, then we affirm.
We agree with you partially. We disagree that where there also has to be, you're also looking at whether or not substantial evidence supported Commerce's first determination and whether or not the court properly remanded
When the first time around, Commerce had looked at all the facts and said these sales in Vietnam are representative, and you appealed that.
We did not. We were not. We were the defendant.
Somebody, when they said they were representative, somebody appealed.
Yes, the Indian producer appealed.
Okay,
Commerce's determination.
Okay, fine. But that issue was appealed.
Yes.
And on appeal on that issue, the Court of National Trade said, no, I'm going to look at this, and I think that Commerce made the wrong decision.
Correct, yes.
That losing party wasn't in a position to appeal that decision now because the case was being remanded.
Correct.
So that whole question of whether or not that original decision was correct for appellate purposes was held on abeyance.
Correct, yes.
And you get involved in the case.
Well, we were involved.
You were involved earlier.
As a defendant.
You were at Commerce.
Correct.
The first time, and you lost at the CIT.
The government lost at the CIT.
Were you an intervener at the CIT?
We were a defendant intervener at the CIT.
Okay.
So essentially you're saying the remand was improper because Commerce's final determination was supported by substantial evidence.
Correct, Your Honor. Yes.
I mean, you get confusing when you just jump in and don't acknowledge the remand itself. I understand it's basically the same argument, but it's procedurally, you're saying the remand, which resulted in the remand determination, was improper.
Yes. So our two issues, the first issue challenges the initial remand by this court in ZA Seafoods 1. And that issue, if you agree with us there that there was substantial evidence supporting Commerce's original determination, that would moot out our second issue in this case.
Sure. But if we rule against you on that, if we say we agree that the remand decision was correct, because Commerce made the mistake the first time around, then you have an additional argument.
Then we have an additional argument that deals with the CIT's decision, and it's a second opinion, finding that we waived any challenge.
It's only the waiver that comes up. I mean, if we rule against you and find that the original remand was done correctly, right?
Then you go to our second issue.
And the second issue has to do with whether they should have ignored your second argument on consumption.
Correct, yes. And those are two, representativeness and poor consumption are two different.
I understand that. So
okay. When did you make the poor consumption argument to Commerce?
At Commerce, no, because in the preliminary results.
Not even on the remand?
Oh, and on the remand, yes. When the case went back to Commerce, Commerce issued a draft remand.
And Commerce said that was too late?
Commerce did not say it was too late. They said that our arguments were based on the same evidence that the CIT had dismissed with regards to the representativeness part of the ask case, so that they were not going to, the court was going to be similarly dismissive of it, whether or not it was for consumption. Does that answer your...
Don't ask that.
And your argument is that that commentary on the remand decision was sufficient to have preserved an issue that you never raised, and that wasn't raised initially.
Well, the court's holding in CASF 2 about waiver wasn't that we didn't exhaust this issue before Commerce. It wasn't that.
I was talking about the factual circumstances in this case. In response to your colloquy with Judge Hughes, you said when the case was in front of Commerce the very first time around, the full consumption issue wasn't being raised. So it gets raised up somehow on the remand after the first CIT decision.
Correct, yes.
And so then it comes up to you, and you say, well, by the way, in front of the CIT the second time, if you disagree with us on whether the initial remand was correct, by the way, we now want to have you litigate and look at the consumption issue.
Correct.
And the CIT said, no, I think that's been waived. And the question for us is decide whether that discretionary call is abuse of discretion, right?
Correct, yes.
And the latitude of discretion we ordinarily give to trial entities is pretty generous, right?
Correct, but the nature of what happened
and for, and for an issue that's never been in the case from the get-go, the notion that it's being introduced late in the game might influence the decision of an appellate court to allow it to re-enter on appeal.
Yes, but in this case, the waiver issue is whether or not we waived by presenting inadequate arguments in our brief before the trial court itself. It has nothing to do with what happened earlier.
What happened below?
What?
With what happened below. It's just whether you properly preserved it in the briefing to the trial court.
Correct. So we filed briefs with the trial court.
That's got to be at the height of discretion for the trial court to determine whether you presented a sufficient argument to entertain or not.
Correct. And the case is
mounting to overcome on abuse of discretion on that.
You know, we think we can overcome that. I think the cases regarding waiver from this court are, you know, very readily distinguishable. You know, you see cases applying waiver when arguments are raised in footnotes. You see it raised when arguments are raised for the first time in the reply. That's not what we had here. We had, we presented an argument based in the plain text of the statute and applied, you know, the record evidence to that requirement of the statute, and Commerce and the CIT just decided that it was not going to consider that argument, even though both the Department of Justice and the plaintiff at the trial court level, you know, addressed that arguments on the merits. Now, I want to go back to now.
Do you know why the Justice Department isn't here? I mean, weren't they parties to this case?
They were.
And they were they not named in the appeal?
They did not enter an appearance in this case. So they, at the trial court level, they appeared as the defendant, and they rigorously defended Commerce's original determination that the sales to ZA Seafood's customer in Vietnam were not representative. And then on appeal, when they went back to Commerce, they obviously defended the agency's remand determination before the CIT.
Well, I understand when they're aligned with the appellate when they don't appear because they have to get SG permission to do that. Mm-hmm. But when they're the appellee, it seems to me odd that they're not here.
I think that's a very fair observation. You know, I don't want to speculate as to, you know, why they aren't here defending their determination on remand. But I think, you know, what we can tell from the record that we do have is that, you know, in three different filings before the CIT, they defended the Commerce Department's original determination that the sales were not representative and could not be used to determine normal value. And I think, you know, if we want to look now at what supported Commerce's initial determination that its prices, the ZA Seafood's sales to Vietnam were not representative, we have information showing that ZA Seafood's primary customer in Vietnam, entities that composed the Minh Phu Group, were large exporters of shrimp to the United States. That information is uncontroverted in the record.
Were they only exporters?
They were not totally exporters, no.
I mean, isn't that the big problem with this case is there's no showing, even though there's maybe inferences that can be drawn, there's no actual evidence that these people only sent stuff to the United States or didn't do any processing before they sent it to the United States.
Well, and with the processing, only certain types of processing would result in...
Yeah, but there's no evidence.
There's no evidence that they were processed in Vietnam. There actually is evidence
that
they were not.
Yeah, but Commerce has to come up with actual evidence to show that these weren't appropriate because they were either sold directly to the United States without processing or that they weren't sold in Vietnam. And the inferences aren't there on this evidence, are they?
No, Your Honor, I would disagree with that, partly because the way the statute and the regulations are set up is there's a presumption that sales to a third country market are representative. And then Commerce's regulation says that Commerce is permitted to decline to calculate normal value in a particular third market country when it is established to the satisfaction of the agency that there is a reasonable basis for believing that the prices of those sales are not representative.
And what evidence did it rely on for that reasonable basis?
Correct. So Commerce relied on, the CIT grouped this into kind of two baskets. They call it the trade evasion evidence, and that had to do with information related to CA Seafood's primary customer in Vietnam, which itself was a large exporter to the United States. We also had a determination issued by Customs and Border Protection that Commerce placed on the record showing that this customer commingled Indian origin and Vietnamese origin shrimp. And three, we know that this customer did in fact export some Indian origin shrimp into the United States, commingled with Vietnamese origin shrimp.
You are into your rebuttal time, and I'm sure you want to save it.
I would like to, yes. Thank you.
Fine. Ms. Sugano.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. On behalf of appellees, we will keep our remarks rather short because we think the evidence here, or even the lack of evidence, really speaks for itself in this case.
Why isn't the evidence he just talked about sufficient under a deferential substantial evidence review to support Commerce's, you know, final determination here before the remand?
The EPA determination, which is the substantial evidence, really, only in this case, does not support a finding that ZA Seafood's sales to Vietnam were unrepresentative. Because there's no connection in the EPA determination between ZA Seafood's, it doesn't mention ZA Seafood's at all, and it doesn't show that ZA Seafood's sales were not processed in Vietnam or that they weren't sold to other customers in Vietnam. The EPA determination, it's speculation, and they rely on it as like a likelihood of some sort of transshipment scheme going on. But with that EPA determination, as we noted in our brief, it was ultimately appealed to the CIT, and they reversed that determination. So the CIT was correct to find that Commerce could not rely on that determination to support the conclusion that the sales to Vietnam were unrepresentative. And as to appellant's second argument concerning the issue of waiver, well, we agree with the CIT that they waived the argument. And second, the underlying issue about for consumption doesn't have any merit because it concerns the same evidence that they were reviewing about representatives.
And leave the second apart because that's on the merits. The first
right.
question is whether or not the Court of National Trade should have entertained the argument.
So
it was, from what we've been told by your adversary, the question as to the consumption was not raised and adjudicated by Commerce the first time around.
Right.
But that when the case was remanded because of the CIT's decision on the other issue, that then the question was presented whether or not this consumption requirement had been satisfied. And apparently the agency, Commerce, made a decision on that subject and said it's not a problem because the tests are the same, you flunked on one, you flunked here.
Exactly.
That's all correct.
Right, exactly.
Then we get up on appeal and your adversary says to the Court of National Trade, well, if you disagree with me on my primary argument, which is you shouldn't have remanded the case in the first place, you at least now should entertain, I guess, decide whether or not Commerce was correct in rejecting this argument on the grounds that the issues were the same.
Correct.
So why isn't that question preserved? Why is it waived?
Appellants didn't present adequate argument on the issue of for consumption their briefing.
Inadequate argument at Commerce or in front of the court?
Both, at Commerce and at the CIT. They did not present adequate argument.
And did the CIT judge say that's the reason why I'm raising it? You raised it, but the argument was inadequate?
Correct. Yes. We found that the argument was waived because they had mere assertions to how the statute should be interpreted, but they didn't provide any further argument.
It's being waived for inadequate presentation.
Correct.
Not being waived because it wasn't raised below.
Right. It wasn't an exhaustion issue. It was an issue about whether or not it was adequately argued. And we agree with the CIT, and also, while we understand that the merits aren't being discussed here, we note that at worst, if it wasn't waived, it's a harmless error because...
Well, that's because you're arguing the merits of the
argument. Right.
But
the merits are the same as the representative.
That's a thumb on the scale.
Right.
What you're asking me to put with regard to the fundamental question of whether or not the waiver decision was correct.
Well, yeah, we agree that they did waive the argument because they didn't adequately argue it. And that even if, in the worst case scenario...
Well, we couldn't reach the harmless error issue unless we, in essence, greeted the
argument. Right, and it hasn't been briefed.
Agreed with you,
so,
that was
right. We agree that they did not adequately argue the for consumption issue.
But your defense of the waiver decision has to rest on the merits of whether or not the judge was correct in saying it was inadequately briefed and rejecting it for that reason?
Correct. We agree.
Well, I shouldn't go further and say, oh, well, I mean, harmless error, because the argument didn't have any merit.
Right. Yes. Right. That is correct. So if there are no further questions, we will rescind the remainder of our time.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Mr. Walker has some rebuttal time.
Sure. Thank you. Your Honor, just to respond to a couple of the points that were made. First, the CDP EPA determination was not the only evidence Commerce relied on in determining that the price of ZA Seafood sales were not representative. In fact, in the preliminary results, Commerce declined to calculate normal value on the basis of third country sales. And that determination was made in February, more than, 6 months before that EPA determination came out and was placed on the record in October. So even in the preliminary results, Commerce said, the evidence on this record does not, we believe that it does not show that these sales were representative. And then the EPA determination was further evidence that Commerce relied on in the final results. Secondly, even today, we're hearing about that we failed to provide any argument regarding the consumption. Commerce did not find that we waived any argument in their remand determination. They addressed our comments regarding consumption.
Well, that wasn't the basis that Commerce found you waived it. It was that the trial court found that you hadn't adequately presented that.
I believe you heard today from Appelli that we waived it at both Commerce and the CIT. But Commerce addressed our arguments and did not find any waiver there. It was only at the CIT. And then finally, just to respond to the process into non-subject merchandise, you know, the substantial evidence standard is highly deferential to the agency. You know, whether or not it could have found that these were processed, there was no evidence on the record that they were. You know, the response, ZA Seafoods could have, in response to our allegation that these were transshipped, put on evidence showing that, you know, Minh Thu and its other Vietnamese trader and trader customers did produce a canned or breaded or other non-subject shrimp. The record doesn't have any evidence on it that would suggest that those companies make non-subject merchandise. And in fact, we have information from when Minh Thu was reviewed before Commerce that shows that they used imported market economy shrimp to produce subject merchandise for the U.S. market. So that shows that, in fact, there is evidence that shows that this shrimp wasn't processed into non-subject merchandise. Unless there's anything else, we ask that the court reverse the trial judge's decision in this case. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The case is submitted.